This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7.06 a.m. on Friday, the 10th of June. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wang Xiaoning and Philip C. Let's recap how global markets closed overnight.
Ooh, it was a bloodbath over in the United States. The Dow was down 1.9%, S&P 500 down 2.4%, NASDAQ down 2.8%. The last 1 hour of trading was super volatile. But over across in Asia, the only market in the green territory was the Nikkei, which was marginally up at about 0.08%. Hang Seng was down 0.7%, Shanghai Composite down 0.8%, STI down 0.5%, and also back home FBM KLCI down 0.9%.
So for some analysis on what's moving global markets, we speak to Lee Kian-sun, CEO of Astral Asset Management. Kian-sun, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, U.S. markets ended deep in the red last night. Could you help us understand why? Is this down to inflation fears as CPI prices are set to be released tonight?
Good morning. We have seen that the U.S. market's volatility has persisted throughout 2022. Ending last night's stock market's performance is a result of, you know, the concerns about inflationary rising costs as well as other economic indicators concerned. Whenever we see that, you know, the government is going to release some key indicators, the market goes into a jittery mode.
Okay, let's talk about some of the, you know, odd sector winners, and they're getting fewer and fewer, and one of which is, of course, energy. And I think this is on the back, of course, with soaring oil prices. Currently, Brent crude this morning, $123 a barrel. Do you think that energy stocks will continue to do very well?
The elevated performance of energy stocks is a direct consequence of soaring oil prices, which is also a result of the Russian-Ukraine military conflict. As we know, in first quarter of 2022, Europe is 40% dependent on Russia oil and gas. So as long as the war drags out and OPEC does not increase their production, the global oil supply will continue to be in shortfall, and so the price of oil will stay inflated.
And I want to get a perspective on, you know, consumer retail sentiment in the U.S., because we see that seeing some softness there, right? How does that translate to, you know, the consumer growth stocks there?
I think this is a key concern that the markets are watching out for, because the U.S. economy is driven a lot by their consumers sectors. As the price of products continue to soar, and, you know, the government is trying to put a hold on inflationary cost pressures, there is a concern that the consumers will find that the prices are simply too expensive, and therefore, you know, have a decline in terms of their spending powers, as well as they stop spending. And this will send the U.S. economy into sort of a tailspin and a slowdown, which is what the central banks are trying to avoid. And that is why we could see that they have aggressively trying to, you know, increase the interest rates in the past few months, and probably will continue to do so for the rest of the year.
Can I also get your thoughts on tech stocks, which are being dragged down by supply chain issues related to manufacturing in China, in addition to also the rising interest rate environment? Are you bullish or bearish that this sector will be able to resolve these supply chain issues anytime soon? And I guess, what's your call on the sector overall?
I think there are a few concerns on China tech. Firstly, the regulatory crackdowns on tech giants since early 2021. I think with the recent announcement that investigations on some of these tech giants have concluded, there are much more relief and explains the recent rally for China tech. Secondly, is the supply chain issues that you mentioned as a result of China's stringent COVID-19 measures, and that have resulted in the closure of many factories in the past few months. I think with the reopening of Shanghai and resumption of manufacturing activities, we expect this to be gradually addressed. But overall, there is a drag on the tech stocks. The valuations of some of the tech giants have become very attractive, probably not now, but about a month ago. And at a point of time, I would say that, you know, these stocks are attractive if you are investing for the long term. You like to have some of these platform stocks in your portfolio, as some of their PEs have become as low as single digits. But at the same time, they are a franchise that, you know, nobody could now replicate or build which is why I said if you are willing to ride out the storm, the volatility is a good investment for the longer run.
So what you're saying is it's an interesting opportunity if you are taking a long-term view for tech. Are there any specific pockets of tech which are interesting, for example, like cybersecurity or even the back-end side, which could be buying opportunities at the moment?
I think the market is realizing that, you know, the Chinese government focus on more on the core technologies like the semicons, the artificial intelligence, cyber tech has shifted the attention, you know, away from consumer tech. And as a result, we could see some of the consumer tech stocks are beaten down as investors started to shift, you know, their emphasis onto, you know, companies that have deep tech expertise. For instance, artificial intelligence, data analytics, and as well as the, you know, core engineering products like the semicon chips.
Kianxun, I want to talk about real estate investment trusts or REITs. Typically, in a rising interest rate environment, they tend to be losers. Is this going to be the case this time around also?
Okay, first, the REITs have been a rock-solid income producer during the past few years. And the recovery of the pandemic, we see the reopening of the economies. The different REITs have also rebounded, you know, as shopping malls are reopened, workers begin to head back to offices, and hotels are starting to be packed with tourists again. But as interest rates start to rise, REITs that are highly geared with a floating rate loans will face increasing financial burden. More REITs have managed to hedge this by fixing their rates with financial instruments like interest rate swaps. But there's also the issue of comparable returns. Let's say when interest rate is near zero, investing in REITs that give you a 4 to 5% dividend makes a lot of sense. But when interest rates starts to, you know, rise to 2 to 3% for, say, fixed deposit, and corresponding bond yields also increase, the dividend yields of REITs would have to increase to, say, 7 to 8% for investors to be interested. This could create some pressures on the REIT valuations in the short run.
Are there any specific REITs that could deliver that 7 to 8%? You know, for example, industrial logistics, is that possible?
Yes, we have seen that that sector of REITs giving you that return, but different sectors REITs have outperformed during different periods of the pandemic. For example, to share, in Singapore, the industrials and logistics REITs were doing very well simply because the factories and warehouses were able to continue operating. But with the reopening of the economies, the shopping malls, office, and hospitality REITs have all recovered this year. And if you are trying to time for the best REIT sector, it's probably going to be challenging and too late. And I would recommend investors who are looking at REITs to take a longer-term approach, invest over time, as well as focus on the merit of diversification. And what I meant is, just in the Singapore STI, there are several S-REITs ETFs that offer a diversified portfolio and offers a decent dividend yield.
And Kianxun, before we let you go, let's take a look at airlines, because airlines in ASEAN have yet to fully recover from the pandemic effects and are now being hit by rising fuel costs. So what's your assessment of the risk-return trade-off from investing into these stocks?
So airlines were badly hit during the pandemic, and most of them have to undertake massive amount of loans to stay afloat. As a result, their balance sheets are very inferior, even with the post-pandemic recovery. Besides, we know that the jet fuel costs have spiraled out of control due to the Russian-Ukraine conflict, and there are only certain limitations that airlines could pass these costs to the travelers. So for more interesting tourism recovery plays or travel recovery play, one could also look at airport services and airplanes engineering service companies, simply because they tend to have stronger balance sheets without all those hefty loans and will benefit from the travel recovery without the fuel drag.
Kianxun, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Lee Kianxun, CEO of Astral Asset Management, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks ahead.
Yeah, so avoid the REITs. Well, not, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. I want to be clear. It still offers some good dividends. But it will be a bit of a challenge, actually, because the interest rate differential between what the REIT is offering in terms of yield versus what US markets are offering now, because interest rates are going to go up 50 bips very easily, right, in the next quarter or so. That will become less attractive over time. And you know what? It's always the good quality REITs where the yield is much lower than the REITs which aren't of as good quality.
Yeah.
So I think you need to pick carefully.
Yeah, I think the candidates are narrowing substantially. Also, his point about China tech, where you have to also be super selective and also really play it for the long run as well.
I guess very quickly on China tech, while we're on that topic, Chinese financial regulators have started early stage discussions on a potential revival of Ant Group's IPO. And this is according to people familiar with the matter. So it's a source story.
Of course, they're familiar, right?
It's a source story on Bloomberg, but this is one of several signals that seem to indicate China is relaxing its regulatory stance on Chinese tech. So it's something people are watching very closely.
Yes, partially because it's going to be listed, dual listing in Shanghai and Hong Kong. I want to know when it's going to happen and the valuations.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.